Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The Sixers officially have a new head coach. Welcome to Sixers Talk, brought to you by Wilmington University, Wilmu Works, Danny Pommels, and our guy, slash, a.k.a. Ben Berry, Mr. Do It All. Hey, we brought you the press conference live on NBC Sports Philadelphia. It was me and the coach, Jim Lynam, breaking down what Doc Rivers had to say and how this fit seems to be meshing with the team. So before we get too deep into everything, I think, Ben, my question to you is, Doc said he was ready to take a break from basketball, but this was a job he just could not turn down. Do you feel like the Sixers job is as coveted as maybe some of the other jobs in the NBA? Because there were other teams vying for his services, but he wanted to come to Philly and work with Ben and Joel.
It is a toss-up in a sense. It's a coveted job. You don't often get two superstars. A team with two superstars available. The Clippers have that right now. That's where he just coached. The Rockets have it. But the difference between the Sixers, the Rockets, and the Clippers, those superstars are 30, if not over 30, 28, 29. I know Harden and Russ down in Houston are definitely on the other side of 30. I believe Kawhi and Paul George are on the other side of 30, but don't quote me on it. Ben and Joel are 26 and 24. So you have a little bit – you have youth on your side that way. You can still get to mold them. At this point, Harden is what he is. Russell Westbrook is what he is. Same with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. So I definitely think that makes it the most intriguing. It makes it a golden opportunity of a coaching job. However, with – as we've seen it play out over the last month or – years for some people that have been in this market that long. It doesn't seem like the front office know what they're doing as they how they came to the agreement on Doc as the head coach. And if this doesn't go well, Elton's going to be out the door and that new GM is going to want to bring in his coach. But on surface level, just what it is for this season and next season, golden opportunity to coach a team.
Yeah, great point, because even though the Sixers do have some issues roster-wise to figure out in a hurry, I think the fact, like you said, that there is this – you know, coaches like to figure things out. They like to see how the puzzle pieces fit, and there's no perfect team out there. There's no complete team, quote-unquote, as Doc said in the press conference. But the Sixers offer an opportunity to have two guys, and Ben and Joel, who Doc said several times during the press conference – together have won 65% of their games together. Like he's like, there are less issues than there are positives with these two guys. So I think that speaks volumes. I really hope that he's able to figure out the Tobias Harris puzzle, because when you put the numbers side by side, we know that Tobias Harris was having great success with Doc Rivers, you know, scratching that plateau of the 50-40-90 plateau, but he also shot 43% from three with the Clippers, which is something he has not done with the 76ers. So I don't know how you figure out that consistency, but he stressed that when he used Tobias, he used him as a big three or quick four. And I don't know if Doc being at the helm gives Tobias more confidence when he gets out on the floor, because he knows, you know, he's going to be put in, you know, situations where he can succeed or win against opposing players or where he fits in the offense. But I think that is where I'm looking for him to unlock some things, because, you know, Ben is growing and developing. Joel is doing the same. Tobias is more on the other side. Like you said, he's approaching 30. He's more on the side where he is what he is at this point. So I'm hoping Doc can find value there with him and what he brings to the team.
I definitely, we've been over it. Tobias's numbers when he was in LA, and I definitely picked up on Doc saying he used him as a fast four or a big three. Tobias' first year, first half year here in Philly, he was the four. This past year, he was a three. And this past year was worse, in my opinion, than his first half season here. As long as Al Horford is on the team, is in the starting rotation, Tobias is going to be the three. If Al stays on the bench or hopefully are able to move him, put Tobias back at the four, a little bit of a fast four, stretch four, maybe that gives him more opportunities, a more comfort level. I think he can exploit matches there. But, and not to get too harsh and critical because you say I'm a Tobias hater since the day you met me, I think a big proponent of all this is he was in L.A. on the Clippers. He was the number one option when he was out there when he was under Doc. There was no other option. So him being the first option, and also there wasn't much expectation for that team. So you got to fly under the radar. You just got the ball and not have to worry about carrying a team, winning this playoff series, going to the next round. You add all that on, we're seeing Tobias' makeup. I don't want anyone to fail, let alone the team I root for, to see someone fail. But maybe Tobias just isn't what the Sixers thought they were getting.
Yeah, Coach Lynam made the point that, and we got to get him back on the podcast, but he made the point that it's the big difference from being the number one scoring option to being third or fourth, which is what the difference was from him being in LA, like you mentioned, where there weren't a lot of options. There was Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, you know, they were a overachieving team because that team did end up making the playoffs. And that was pre-Kawhi and Paul George and all that stuff. But I think that, you know, where Tobias fits here, and it's just that even if you are the number one scoring option, he was actually living up to the billing with his consistency, which we have not seen here. So, you know, I don't know if a coach will make the difference between what maybe 8 percentage points of 3-point shooting compared to what he shot here around 35% compared to what he shot in LA at 43%. So I don't know if a coach makes that much of a difference, but whatever the confidence was that he had with Doc is what the confidence he needs to have here. So, you know, that remains to be seen. But I think overarchingly, when I look at what Doc brings and the roster and things like that, like he said that, you know, he wants to increase the pace and whatnot, but he also, you know, doesn't really care how the team scores points. He doesn't care who scores the points. He just wants to make sure that they do score them. So he doesn't care where the points come from, and he's much more focused on team scoring than individual scoring. So that kind of, in a way, lets Ben Simmons off the hook because he was speaking glowingly about Ben, about a playmaker, about making plays for other people. And he said he's not as concerned about Ben shooting as everyone else is. And if he's just going to put him out there, and it seems like, to me, he is taking the approach of, I'm going to see what I have and how these pieces fit together before we decide to make wholesale changes or to move, you know, cornerstone pieces like Ben or Joel, where he's going to work with the periphery of what they have and keep those guys. I think based on what he said, I see Ben running the point. I see Ben pushing the pace. And I don't see him making any or co-signing any significant trades unless something comes and just blows the Sixers away.
So when Doc started talking about Ben, I would listen the whole thing, but when he started talking about Ben, like, shut everything off.
You perked up. You perked up on that part.
Yeah, like, yo, I got to hear what he's going to say. When he said he isn't worried about Ben shooting threes, he, as long as he scores and does what's best for him. I mean, that's a nice sentiment on face value, but if Ben is at the top of the key and someone's down below the foul line and they're just practically a double team on Joel, we've seen what that looks like in the playoffs. That's not going to fly Like, if that happens, Doc's first year here, they go to the playoffs and that's happening, something's going to change. He's going to see how upset these fans here in Philly get.
I don't think they would get that far not knowing what Ben's strengths and weaknesses are as how he fits in the lineup, and that, you know, teams are going to pack it in and dare him to shoot and things like that. To me, he stressed that he's going to continue to – he, you know, wants to work with Ben and continue to develop him and things like that, and wants him to feel comfortable during those things. But he is not, like, making that a paramount or primary concern based on the inferences I made from what he said. So I'm still trying to process how to take that, because Brett took the angle of using the media as a way to try to get Ben – to shoot more and get to the free throw line. Ben didn't respond to that.
I think Brett did everything. The traditional coach thing. Brett tried everything but benching him.
He emptied the tank.
Brett did everything but bench him. And this last year, he just went through the media and it still didn't work. I don't know what Doc is going to end up doing. It seems like it's not something he's going to press on. It's just going to be interesting if it comes a time where – shot clock's running down and Ben's at the top of the key and someone's daring him to shoot. Like, that's just not going to slide any longer. So I'm intrigued by that. I see you thinking on the thought.
So I think in that scenario, I think Ben would just go to the basket where he would probably pass the ball.
You can't pass it anymore with his 5 seconds left on the shot clock. People would be mad. Is it a turnover on their stats that you put them in a bad position? Like, you had the open shot. So
I told that to Coach Lineham regarding Ben, and he said, you know, when I looked at Ben's numbers incrementally each season, his free throw percentage has crept up. Now,
what was it Ben, this past season?
Well, I don't know what it was exactly this past season. I think it was below 60%, but I think that Ben shooting about 4.5 free throws a game doesn't do the team any – like, that doesn't make a difference if you're as size – you know, has much of a size difference and are, you know, stronger than most guys that are guarding. I mean, he's 6'10", and, you know, any guard in the Eastern Conference that would be a point is probably 6'5 or under, 6'6 or under. So he has a big advantage there. So for me – I like what Doc said, but I need to see Ben continue to develop, which he said he would focus time on and is important to him. But I feel like the 3-point shooting isn't as important, but I think that something else Doc talked about accountability wise, that issue Brett Brown had, I think there needs to be some accountability as far as what the team wants from Ben and what they tell him and what he goes out and does on the court.
So everyone has stressed the accountability aspect I've been questioning.
That's what they were missing, right? That's accountability with Joel staying in shape, the accountability with Ben shooting threes and going to the free throw line. That was something that they were missing.
So when Doc was in Boston, it was – questions about if Rondo liked to pound the ball, if he was more concerned about getting his assist instead of initiating the offense or sometimes taking the open jump shot. And was there accountability there? Was there accountability in L.A. when he first got there with Lob City if Blake was working to improve his game? So I know DeAndre Jordan, he wanted to be a bigger role in the offense, and Doc told him to focus on what he did well. That made him a NBA all-defensive team, all-NBA center. So, but telling me, because Doc has been in L.A. and Boston, that he's going to come in and push down accountability on Joel and Ben, I'm just not guaranteed it's going to happen, because over the last 10 years, like, you can't sell me that his players have been held accountable.
Hey, dreams come into reach at Wilmington University. There's a local university that's ready to bring your dreams into reach. It's Wilmington University. WilmU helps working adults reach their career goals through accredited and affordable degrees and certificates to reach new heights in your field. WilmU works. Find out why at wilmu.edu. Doc has a 5-year deal here that would outlast any player that's currently on the roster, Tobias, Ben, Joel, what have you. So there is that kind of accountability. Well, like, hey, I'm still going to be here even if you're not. So if we need to trade you or ship you off, like that's a real possibility too, if you feel like accountability isn't something you want to buy into. The other thing is that I feel like the onus is now on Ben and Joel, because you had a situation with Brett Brown where accountability fell through the cracks, left by the wayside. It was extreme criticism of his tenure. You bring in a guy like Doc Rivers, who has 21 years of head coaching experience, not his first head coaching job. 21 consecutive years, I might add. He has an almost 15-year playing career. He is looked at as an ambassador for the league, who players look for advice from, speak to, who, you know, even in a bubble, they leaned on him to lend, you know, perspective and his opinion on issues and matters that were going on concerning the team and the players in the bubble and how society looks at who's in the bubble and what they're doing and the whole bit. So you bring in this ambassador of the league who his name is golden in so many basketball circles. And now you got these two young guys, Ben and Joel, 24 and 26 years old, who now need to step up and meet Doc at the level that he is at. So it's not the case of you bringing in Brett Brown, who is wet behind the ears as a head coach and doesn't quite have the experience of dealing with big egos and things like that. The onus is on them, because they will be the ones that will look bad now. Like, you couldn't get along with Brett and you couldn't get along with Doc. You couldn't find a way to, you know, live up to the expectations with either of those coaches, particularly Doc Rivers, who has this name recognition and cachet. So I think the pressure now is on Ben and Joel to buy in the Doc and not Doc to kind of cater to them.
All right. So is there more pressure on Doc or Ben is what you're asking? Or Doc or Ben and Joel?
Is Ben and Joel less pressure on Doc as far as it pertains to the relationship between those three and what he's asking from them, what they have been asked in the past, how this team gets to the next level? The pressure is on them in that regard.
I think there's pressure on them. It's a hard question to answer because
they got to buy in. They got
to
buy in.
They have to buy in. But if they buy in and don't win because for whatever reason, like Doc acknowledged, like, I wasn't going to coach somewhere. I thought about taking time off. I wanted to come to a team that's ready to win.
Right. Yes. Yes.
So that's it. That's his own words. So they have to be ready to win now. We also learned that Doc also has some say in the personnel. So whatever happens with this roster.
Did we learn that?
Yeah. Him and Elton are going to come to agreement with some roster move. Maybe, yeah, I take that a lot more literal.
That was a little vague to me. I didn't quite – I think the question was like, hey, you have had personnel input in the past. How do you see that playing out in this situation? And he did say that, you know, there would be some agreements and things like that. But, you know, the front office is in flux. Where he fits in into that, I do not know. So I don't even know if they're going to even bring anyone in like so many people expected. But if you read Keith Pompey's latest pieces, he feels like Alex Rucker, Ned Cohen, Miguel Oliva will all stay in the organization but have less decision-making power, if any at all. And they might not bring anybody in under Elton's. Maybe that, to your point, makes that space for Doc Rivers to be kind of a buffer there between the players and Elton and what have you and personnel. But I don't know. I'm a little vague on what that is because they were a little vague.
It was vague, and not to go off topic, but they said there would be changes in the front office. I thought that meant people would be – let go, and they will bring some people in.
You talk about accountability. Where's the accountability there?
There's no accountability there. There's been no accountability for the Tobias Max trade and Max contract, Al Horford big deal. There's been no accountability there. But, Mac, pressure? I know when I sent you the topic, it was out of Doc or Ben and Joel. Can I pick Doc, Ben, Joel, and Elton? If this thing isn't jumping, if they don't make the Eastern Conference Finals in 2 years, could you see major changes happening across the board?
Well,
if a new GM comes in, they're bringing in their own coach. I don't care how much time Doc has left on his contract. We see all the time people get sent packing with a lot of years left on their deal.
I mean, he had 2 years left on his Clippers deal. So
exactly. So I think maybe the most pressure is on Ben and Joel, because if they don't succeed, like Doc doesn't succeed, Elton doesn't succeed. So right. Those two are relying – the Doc and Elton are relying on Ben and Joel to succeed for their careers. Ben and Joel know if they don't succeed, they will get another opportunity somewhere else. There's no guarantee on Elton or Doc will still want to coach, even though he says he loves it. Everyone gets tired and wants to retire at some point. Let's go with Ben and Joel. The most pressure is on them.
Yeah.
Doc wants to play at a faster pace. Yo, Joel, you got to get in shape. Ben, you don't need to shoot from 40% from beyond the arc, but you probably need to get above 70% from the foul line. You have to be willing to take that mid-range jumper when it's there, or develop a baby hook. You have to take the shot when it's presented in front of you.
Yeah, it goes without saying, the two Duke guys are tied together. As Doc Rivers goes, so goes Elton Brand's job to me, because he's already gotten the mulligan for what has happened over, you know, whether it be groupthink or not. You know, we've said this 1,000 times over, it might have been groupthink, but Elton's a GM. To me, he's the one with the basketball savvy. He was a number one pick. He played a long time in the league. Like, he's the guy that's the basketball mind there. So he kind of is left holding the bag in my eyes. But if anything were to happen where this team underperforms or doesn't quite reach the heights that they would, you know, a couple years down the line, they both will be gone. That's the way I see it. But, I mean, there is a scenario where Doc Rivers doesn't get fired because, however it played out, it wasn't all his fault, or however, you know, the games, you know, game, you know, six games, seven games, Eastern Conference Finals, NBA Finals, however it plays out. But I think the biggest thing for me is that if the accountability is important with Ben and Joel, the accountability has to be equal with the front office. So if you're, hey, I'm holding Ben and Joel accountable to staying in shape and, you know, shooting more and getting to the free throw line and what have you, the front office has to be held accountable the same way, as in, you guys made poor decisions. You didn't bring in enough to support Ben and Joel, which is what Elton Brand said his approach is to build around the two cornerstones. So I just need the reciprocation on both sides. So I think that's what I'm looking for, is I'm hoping that whoever or whatever Doc Rivers' role is, as far as it pertains to decision-making or personnel issues, that whoever's making those decisions in the front office is being held accountable for their missteps, as the players would be.
Ooh, you are asking for a lot. You want to talk about the front office gave Al 4 years, $89 to $100 million guaranteed or whatever?
Yeah.
Yet you listen to that press conference, they couldn't get a part-time PA to come in and fix the sound on Doc's mic on the Zoom?
At Nissan, we just made your choice for a new car an easier one than ever. With our most exciting and fuel-efficient lineup, the choice is yours. Now get great offers across our full line. Shop at your local Nissan store today at NissanUSA.com. You know, it's weird because in a typical press conference, like I said, you would have the GM and the coach up there, and you would be able to ask questions of each. Also, in a typical press conference, one person will be able to ask more than one question. So in this Zoom format, you know, you're trying to get everyone an equal opportunity to ask a question. So you kind of have to go, you know, one by one, and you don't really get – maybe you get a follow-up, but you definitely don't get, like, a second official question. So because of that, I feel like there were some – things that went unnoticed or unsaid. The draft is coming up November 18th. What does Doc Rivers think that
would be a something the Sixers should look for in the draft. It's a shortened offseason. We're going to be ramping back up here again. How is Doc Rivers approaching that? So is a thousand other questions that you could have gotten to. So I'm really thinking about what's next. How about asking Doc Rivers, the team has a lot of issues that they need to address here in the offseason. And one of them being a front office, how do you feel about being hired as a head coach when there could be changes in the front office as well? So, with that being said, that is where we are, where there's maybe something coming down the line as far as the front office is concerned. The roster may or may not be changed significantly. So when we think about that, are there any players who you feel like, without touching the cornerstone pieces, the Sixers could bring in or should target to kind of help accentuate what they had?
So the first
not
one
through
that
trades, comes, but just people out there that are available.
Oh, not through trades.
I feel like trade we can make up any trade scenario. You know what I mean? Buddy Hield or Chris Paul or whatever.
But I was just thinking of X dot players to come in and change the culture and accountability that everybody wants. So everyone
– there are players out there you think could do that?
Chris Paul has been linked to the Sixers since the Thunder season has ended. I know that Chris Paul and Doc's relationship in L.A. ended very unceremoniously, and CP3 said that's part of the reason why he played a role and why he left for Houston.
Oh, you're saying they don't have a chance at Chris Paul now because Doc's here?
Oh, I think – I don't know if they have a chance. I know since they're falling out, they've been seen golfing since, and their relationship has mended. I think Chris Paul could come in, and since he is an exhausting person to be around, even though it seems like he has grown in that 1 year in OKC, I think that could help bring in some of the culture and accountability, because the repeating theme over our pod, all the reports – all the articles has been accountability. I think Chris Paul would bring in some accountability. Then there's a J.J. Redick. You get the big man's handoff guy. He can shoot threes again, J.J. Redick. I know you're not a big fan of retreads. I think J.J. Redick would be good for this team again. Some scoring. Someone to
stretch. Are you still running Ben at the point before we move on too far? If Chris Paul comes here, how do you see him and Ben Simmons coexisting?
I think Chris Paul would be the main ball handler in crunch time situations, since he can get his own shot and create for other people. I think I don't know who would start the game off that way. Doc and the coaches can figure that out. I think it'd be a great learning opportunity for Ben. It would be a learning opportunity from a lot of people that get tired of CP3, but it'd be a great learning opportunity. Put Ben at the four then. But as soon as Chris go out the game, you have Ben to pick up the point guard, the ball handling duties. I think it'd be a great opportunity. And again, accountability. I said J.J. Redick. I don't necessarily want this person to get time playing I'm about to bring up. But the reason I want this person is he's a walking bucket. That's what he gets. You weren't a big fan of him. Paul's not a big fan of him, at least being on the team at this stage in his career. But he brings locker rooms together. Never heard anyone say anything negative about him. And I think that's something this team could use.
Who?
Jamal Crawford.
Oh, man, he's old, bro. He's old.
He looks younger than Al.
Now, no, he doesn't, though. I think people, Sixers fans, devalue Al Horford because he doesn't fit here. But I think there is a market for him with other teams. But, yeah, I mean, it wouldn't hurt bringing in a guy like Chris Jamal Crawford. I think they need to be smart about whoever they bring in because of the fit. And I don't think they need – they tried to bring Elton Brand as a player in at one point to be like that voice of you know, veteran voice on the bench. But what about Austin Rivers?
Austin Rivers.
He's a guy who can play combo guard. He can run a point. He can play off the ball. He's a 10-year NBA vet now. Already has a rapport with playing with his dad. Is that something you will be open to?
I don't want anyone, when they go back into their home cities and we can play in the Wells Fargo Center again, I don't want another team running up in the Sixers locker room trying to square up like the Rockets and Clippers did a couple of years ago because of Austin Rivers. You'll remember when Chris Paul and the Rockets tried to go in the back?
Oh, when Chris Paul took the secret entrance?
He took the secret entrance into the Clippers locker room, that big thing. They tried to run up on Austin. Austin is a divisive figure in NBA circles. It would be a sin not to bring him up in this discussion as former Doc players that could be added to the team. His teammates,
what's his contract situation?
Like him. I believe he is a free agent or player option this year.
Leave LA with a player option and come all the way to Philly to play with your dad.
Houston.
I mean, leave Houston with a player option and leave there to come play with your dad. Yeah, I can see that. No, man, you're not buying it?
I can see it happening. Is the question, do I see it happening or do I want it? Do I see it happening? Yeah, do I want it?
Do you want it?
No, I could see Chris Paul trying to strangle him. I could see another team trying to run into the locker room, as I mentioned earlier.
I think Philly might warm up to somebody like that who gets under other players' skin.
Imagine you get under your teammate's skin.
I don't know. I'll have to see more about that. But
he's Draymond Green, but not as good, and that's it in the locker room.
Sixers need to make some type of adjustments. I'm hoping that the draft is somewhere where they can cash in. I'm also leaning toward, you know, if we could package Josh Richardson maybe with a draft pick and Tobias, not doesn't have to be Tobias or Al or have you, to bring in somebody who fits better with the group that they have. Don't forget Norvell Pell is there to play those backup center minutes, so Al Horford might not be as valuable to this team.
I mean, whatever the team needs to do to move on from Al Horford, I'm in on. I would say the same about Tobias, but we've been down that road and not everyone feels the same way. If it's packaging, if it's adding Josh Richardson, a draft pick, I'm even okay with Matisse, but you got to do something.
Are you did you see Jimmy Butler getting loose, 40-point triple-double?
Could use a player
like that.
Shooting 70% from the field.
Could use a player like that.
Yep. Told LeBron and Lakers they're in trouble.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Sixers Talk brought to you by Wilmington University. WilmU Works. We appreciate you tuning in as always. Be sure to check us out Thursday as we bring you another podcast. This is a constantly evolving thing. Hopefully we'll be able to see Doc Rivers, you know, out in the community, you know, doing things as normalcy starts to like creep back in. Restaurants at 50% capacity of Philadelphia. Maybe, you know, you'll have a chance to get out and see Doc in the community, but we will bring you all of the news and updates as they come our way because we love you guys. We appreciate you tuning in. For Ben Berry, I'm Danny Palmels. This has been Sixers Talk brought to you by Wilmington University, WilmU Works. We'll see you next time.
One, two, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.